All righty. Well, I'm Wayne. I'm an addict. Welcome back again. This is the number 11 of the series of 12. We're doing great. We got one more month. And this was in response to the survey a year ago. It was a needs assessment. We have organized these sessions and hope to continue to do it once per month to cover each tradition over the course of 12 months. We say that in hopes of attendance and people coming. So it has kind of weeded off in the last few months, but we're still getting through it. We got one more, and I know I've learned a lot. Next month, hey, if you got a sponsor or a sponsor or a home group or a friend, invite them to come on in. The next one, we do this on the third Thursday. The next one's going to be on May 28th, and that'll be on Tradition 12 next month. All right, so let's go ahead and open this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. All right. So, can I have somebody read the 12 traditions that's on the screen? Just go ahead and unmute yourself and jump right in there, anybody.
Hello, my name is Bobby, and I am an addict.
Bobby.
The 12-step traditions of NA. We keep what we have only with vigilance, and just as freedom for the individual comes from the 12 steps, so freedom from the group springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Four, each group should be autonomous except if matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose. Six, an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, NA as such are never to be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the NA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. Every mind is to place principles before personalities. Understanding these traditions comes slowly over a period of time. We pick up information as we talk to members and visit various groups. It usually isn't until we get involved with service that someone points out that personal recovery depends on NA unity, and that unity depends on how well we follow the traditions. The 12 traditions of NA are not negotiable. They are the guidelines that keep our fellowship alive and free. By following these guidelines in our dealings with others and society at large, we avoid many problems. That is not to say that our traditions eliminate all problems. We still have to face difficulties as they arise. Communication problems, differences of opinion, internal controversies, and troubles with individuals and groups outside the fellowship. However, when we apply these principles, we avoid some of the pitfalls. Many of our problems are like those that our predecessors had to face. Their hard-won experience gave birth to the traditions, and our own experience has shown that these principles are just as valid today as they were when these traditions were formulated. Our traditions protect us from the internal and external forces that could destroy us. They are truly the ties that bind us together. It is only through understanding and application that they work.
Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate that. All right. And then if we could have somebody unmute yourself and read the excerpt out of the works, How and Why, that's on the screen right now on Tradition 11.
I can
Go
do that.
ahead,
Nope. Go
Ben.
ahead, Rob.
Go ahead, Ben.
Go ahead, Ben.
I meant to, I'm an addict. Tradition 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain a personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. All of our members play a part in our public relations, whether or not they are involved in public information work. When individual addicts demonstrate recovery at work in their lives, they become our strongest attraction, a living testament of NA's effectiveness. Seeing us now, those who knew what we once were like will spread the word to those they meet that NA works. The further that message is carried, the more likely it is that addicts seeking recovery will become attracted to warm, loving, support of our fellowship. By the same tokens, we must remember that wherever we go, we always represent NA at some degree. If we are seen acting poorly while we prominently display an NA logo on our t-shirt, we carry a distinctive, unattractive message about our fellowship to the public. What we say and what we do reflects on our NA recovery and the NA fellowship. As a responsible NA member, we want the reflection to be a source of attraction rather than a source of embarrassment. Tradition 11, it works how and why.
Thank you, Ben. All right. If somebody could unmute themselves and read the excerpt out of the guiding principles that's on the screen.
I can get that.
Okay, go right ahead. Thank you.
So Tradition 11 tells us about our public relations policy. We engage with the world outside our meetings so that addicts can find us. We use the term public relations because we build and maintain ongoing relationships with people and organizations outside NA in order to reach addicts seeking recovery. Our goal in public relations work is always the same. We want addicts to come to a meeting and experience Narcotics Anonymous. Nothing we can say in a presentation on a bus poster or even in our literature can substitute for the identification we experience in the atmosphere of recovery found in NA meetings. Hearing addicts share their experience, seeing recovery in action, feeling the love in the room, all this is as much part of process as the work we do in the steps. There are no promises we can make, no comparisons or endorsements, no claims or opinions that could be as powerful as the experience, strength, and hope. Sharing from the heart is the most attractive thing we have to offer. Helping addicts find us, explaining NA to those around us, ensuring that it's safe for addicts to attend meetings. These are the goals of our public relations policy. Our message, that any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live, is all we have to give. It is sufficient to change the lives of addicts all over the world. Ultimately, Tradition 11 is about the practice of goodwill inside and outside the Narcotics Anonymous. Like so many things in recovery, how we do the work is as important as the work we do. A public relations policy based on attraction requires us to practice self-control. We cannot let enthusiasm run away with us, either by making promises or promotional claims about the program, or by presenting ourselves as representative of our anonymous fellowship. It's not appropriate for members to be associated with the NA name in any form of media that is available to the general public. The PR Handbook and the PR Basics Handbook include discussions of our principles along with practical suggestions to help us work with the public. The guidance offered in these resources and the wisdom of our experienced trusted servants can help us practice PR more effectively. To carry out our policy of attraction rather than promotion, we present ourselves and our program with humility, honesty, and simplicity, and we allow the miracle of recovery to speak for itself. Guiding Principles, Tradition 11.
Thank you very much, Rod. Appreciate that. Okay, well, with that, here's what we're going to do, because our speaker is on her way to the room. We are going to, let's see. I'm just going to go over this right quick. This is the 90-minute session. Hang on a minute. And our speaker's going to be coming up here pretty soon. And when she does come on, we'll just go ahead and share here. But when she does come on, we'll just stop and introduce our speaker and let her share her 20 or 30 minutes, and then we'll continue on. So what'll happen then, after we're done with sharing, we're going to open this up for everyone else to share their experience, strength, and hope. Of what they've got from her, or what they their experience, strength, and hope on Tradition 11, and we'll try to keep our sharing focused on that. Remember that. Keep your sharing about 3 to 5 minutes, so everybody gets an opportunity to share. Don't look like we're gonna have a problem with that. So, with that, let's see. Who would like to share a share, period? Hey, looky here. All
Tony is
right.
with us.
Yeah, speaking of that, so you okay over there? You're muted. There you
Hey everybody.
go. Okay, you okay?
I'm okay. We're all
All
okay.
right, so we have this is a 90-minute session, and we have a speaker that's here right now, and so I'm Wayne. I'm an addict. I think I've known the speaker for a long time. Actually, I was in at Living Clean when I met her, and they came over from Iola, I think.
Eureka.
Eureka. You know, and I hadn't met you, and then after that, I seen you throughout, and you know, I'll tell you, in the last several years, I think you've really come out shining somewhere. I'm not sure. I mean, you've been over on that side of the earth, it seems like, you know, but hey, I'll tell you, in the last several years, I've got to know. No, Tony, you're pretty good, and it seems like it anyway. And did a lot of service and a lot of passion for PR. I can see that. I think that's why we have her on Tradition 11, because that's a big part of that. So I'm really glad that you stepped up at Region and showed some passion in this and gathered other people some passion. So I don't know if you hear that enough, but. Doing a good job, and I'm excited to hear what you have to share. So this is Tonya right here. Tonya R, go right ahead.
Thank you, Wayne. I appreciate that. So, my name's Tonya. I'm an addict, and I was already kind of rattled because I spent the time that I would have liked preparing, and sort of collecting myself for this opportunity. I spent actually just doing PR work. And so I haven't had the time that I wanted, to really prepare for this. So you guys are just gonna get it, from the hip here. And hopefully it's gonna be okay. I'm just, kind of turning it over, asking my higher power to guide me and let me share what I've come to learn. And I'm also really interested in hearing. I know that everyone that's on the Zoom has also got a whole lot of experience in service work and in public relations. And so anyway, if that wasn't enough, then yeah, the sirens went off right before I was about to like open the laptop and I'm like, do we really have to go? And so I'm here in the hotel. The convention starts tomorrow, and yeah, we had to load all of the hotel guests into a hallway, an interior hallway, where half of us opened the back door and went out to see what the sky looked like, you know. And it looked ominous, to be honest. So, and then the other half of us were trying to look on Facebook to see if it was doing any damage over in Newton and that sort of thing. So anyway, that's where I'm at, and I'm a little rattled, but I will get through this. So, yeah. So I'm assuming that you had some readings, right, that I missed from. Okay, all right, that's great. So our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. And our personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films, and et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, today the traditions, you know, came from a long time ago when all we had was press, radio, and film. And it's different today. You know, there's a lot, it encompasses a lot more than that. So, you know, social media is huge. You know, the internet web is huge. So, you know, I want to talk a little bit about that too. The thing that I've learned, you know, and I volunteered for the public relations because I was already serving in public relations at the area level. So I volunteered in the region because I was watching that our public relations committee was just going to vanish. You know, it was gonna die. There wasn't willingness at that time for the positions, and there were people who had been serving for a long time and had sort of, you know, probably lost some enthusiasm for it, and rightfully so, you know, were taking an opportunity to step down. And just because I'm passionate about it, I am really passionate about public relations. I did step up, and the region supported this committee in ways that I couldn't have even imagined. So I'm so grateful for that, and wonderful things are happening. And more of us are getting involved, and I'm very, very enthusiastic about all of the opportunities that we have. And a lot of the opportunities that we have are also for not just taking our message, you know, into the public, sharing it with the public, but also learning about what that means in terms of attraction rather than promotion, and in terms of our anonymity. So I've learned a lot, and I know that our whole committee is learning a lot too. It's not a secret society, so anonymity does not mean that, you know, we are invisible, or that we are not able to share our experience, strength, and hope, you know, with the public, with our faces, with our personal selves, you know, represented. It does mean that, to me, the principle of anonymity is what manifests as like selflessness in our fellowship. So when, and forgive me if I'm all over the road, okay? I wanted to be so prepared, and I kind of was, but now I'm not. So, but that selflessness is what makes us all, I like to refer to it as, you know, when we come into Narcotics Anonymous, we are spokes in the wheel. You know, I like to see it like I love sitting in a circle. You know, when I go into a meeting hall where it's not like some form of a circle, I mean, I don't care if it's a rectangle or a square, you know, right? But it's like where we're all sitting there looking at one another. If there's like a little alcove over there or someone's hidden over there, it's like I just get kind of jangly about that, because I like to see it as we are all spokes in this wheel. No one is above, no one is below. It doesn't matter what our experience has been, what our criminal history is, what our education level, what our profession, all of those things. We come in and we all share the experience of the opportunity for recovery from active addiction equally. No one has an advantage or a disadvantage that way. Narcotics Anonymous works for all of us equally. And so what that means to me too, in terms of public relations, is that none of us, not a single one of us, is qualified to be a poster child. I think our literature refers to it that way, a poster child for recovery or for NA. So the anonymity principle there means that primarily it means that we don't do this alone. We never go into a situation where we are the spokesperson. We are the one, that is taking our message to the public, whether that's to institutions or court services or treatment centers or correctional facilities or whatever. We don't go alone. And there's reasons for that, I mean, besides just that we're spokes in the wheel, it's also that, we're we come in here with a history of, I don't know about you guys, but I came in here with a pretty big sense of self, right? I was pretty self-obsessed, when I got here. And my perception of myself was all out of proportion. And like that, oh, it's all about me. It's no, it's not all about me. And so I like to remind myself and remind others, who are serving in public relations, that that's really important, that we have to hold hands, when we do this, just like for our meetings. Our meetings are our primary way of carrying our message, and that is sometimes to the public. Most of our meetings are open meetings, and anyone can come, and people are invited. We invite members of the public to come to our meetings, to learn about Narcotics Anonymous. And when they do, that experience is so transformative and so powerful for the public, for the members of the public who we are, attracting. Our meetings, our groups are so attractive. And I have a passion for that too, for public relations in terms of our groups. I was trying to read a little bit in Guiding Principles and, the section about groups. And I just loved some of the stuff that it was saying about groups, and that our meetings have to be safe, inclusive. This is the attraction, right? The attractiveness of it. Safe, inclusive, regardless of who you are and where you've been. Our meetings need to be welcoming and open to all addicts, no matter what we look like, no matter our faith, our lack of faith, our so I have a passion for that too, the atmosphere of recovery. And I think that that's a big part of public relations. Are a lot of us have meetings in locations that are, I didn't look at the time when I started. Will somebody holler at me when I've talked too long? I can go on and on. So a lot of us have meetings in locations that are public locations, you know, like maybe we meet at the library, maybe we meet at a church, you know, maybe we meet at, you know, the Elks Lodge or something like that. That has an impact. That is public relations because we have relationships with people in the community who are either attracted to Narcotics Anonymous because of our behavior, because of our presence, you know, in that community, or who are, you know, not. So that's where everyone says everyone is PR, and it's absolutely true. We were joking the other day at an event at Pioneer where I was coming from. I had gotten hung up at lunch with some friends that it took too long and I was going to be late, and I have a tendency to drive like a maniac when I'm late. So I can't afford to put like any NA symbols on my vehicle. I can't afford to have like a bumper sticker, right? Or you know anything like that, because that's public relations, right? And I know this about myself, you know. I'm a work in progress, you know. I'm still working on that. That's still one of my addictions, I guess, is that I enjoy driving fast, and it's not okay for me to like go whizzing past somebody and like freaking them out and have like a, you know, an NA, you know, sticker on the back of my car. It's just not okay for that to happen. So at least I know that. But do I know it all the time when I'm wearing, you know, a logo, I'm wearing a shirt? I don't know if all of us do, but every time that we step out and we got a hat, we got a shirt, we got a bag, you know, whatever we've got, we are the voice and the face of Narcotics Anonymous, and we are leaving an impression everywhere we go. And no matter what our words say, no matter how we talk about our recovery and how much we've grown or changed, how much the program has worked for us, people, the impression that we're leaving is not always just our words. So, you know, talked about that too at this opportunity at Pioneer, where, you know, a lot of us have been there where we go out to the meeting after the meeting and we're in the restaurant and some of us just get crazy, you know, and out of hand and stuff. And we leave a bad taste, you know, with the waitress or with the restaurant and stuff like that. That's another situation where we have to be conscious of that. You know, the flip side of that is that as we grow in the program, as we embrace the spiritual principles of, you know, humility and anonymity and selflessness, then we do grow, and we do become. So public relations is about relationships. It's about relationships with people in the public sphere, that have the opportunity, because that's what it is to me. The opportunity to, because of their work or their profession or their circumstances, they have the opportunity to speak to people who are struggling with addiction. That's who we reach out to in terms of public relations. That's like a lot of the outreach. And so those people have like this you know, judges. So like if one has been in a judge's courtroom and one's life has changed, you know, that is like a dramatic, obvious way to attract members, potential members to Narcotics Anonymous, because that judge is going to have an impression that is so positive, and they're going to be sharing that impression, you know, with others in court services. And I've seen this happen in communities. And I, as part of the PR work that I've been doing. I've been joining in with these community task forces and coalitions, these prevention coalitions. And there's a judge down in Iola, Kansas, who has made a YouTube video. I mean, this judge made a YouTube video about their drug court and shared about how important, recovery. And now I don't remember if he specified Narcotics Anonymous, but about how 12-step recovery was such an integral part of their drug court success stories. I mean, he said that there was absolutely no question that the graduates, of the drug court who have been successful were the ones who were involved basically in Narcotics Anonymous. And that is huge to have a member of the community with that kind of influence, saying that in a YouTube video that has, I don't know how many hits it has by now, but that's like really big. So when we are just being ourselves, just being members, in the community and in our groups and in our meetings, we're leaving incredible opportunities for attraction. That is the definition right there for me of attraction. He's not saying that NA works for everyone. He's not promoting it. He's not saying that, this is if you do this, this will happen, or this is the best way, or something like that. I think sometimes members get kind of hung up on that if we go out and we put up a bumper sticker, or we put up a billboard, or we put the signs on the buses, and all of these things that people are doing in larger communities, that's promotion. And our literature tells us that it's not. The public relations handbook is very clear on the difference between attraction and promotion. And promotion is like when you're selling a used car and you're kicking the tires and you're making promises, or guaranteeing something, or if you go to NA, your life is going to change. You're going to get a beautiful wife or a great husband. You're going to promise you're going to get your kids back. We can't promise any of those things. Our promise is only freedom from active addiction. And that we can promise. We can promise that if you come to the program and you work the program, that you can find freedom from active addiction. That's our only promise. So anyway, I don't know if I'm rambling or not. I had so many things I wanted to say. And I don't I got scattered by the tornado. But anyway, I've been blessed. I have just been blessed with the opportunity to do so much in public relations in the last, I don't know, when did we start this? And I started it at Just for Today area. And I've talked to so many social workers, what do you call them? Parole officers, probation officers, court services officers, therapists, drug and alcohol counselors, law enforcement people. And I am just really impressed that so many of them do have such a high esteem, for Narcotics Anonymous. Our communities are doing a lot of things right. Another thing that I don't know, I don't know how it does fit in my mind, but I don't know, how everybody else feels about it, but our public relations policy to me has to be completely welcoming to any addict no matter what. You know, anyone who identifies with being a drug addict has to be able to come to our meetings and feel safe. And so for me, that includes people who are on medical assisted treatment. You know, that includes people, addicts who are seeking that in addition, you know, perhaps to recovery in Narcotics Anonymous, that we have to make it safe for all addicts, regardless of their drug of choice, regardless of their route, you know, to recovery. You know, people come to meetings who are in other fellowships as well. You know, we live in really small towns where maybe there's one meeting a week. Maybe there's one meeting a week for Narcotics Anonymous. Maybe there's another meeting a week for Alcoholics Anonymous. People come to meetings and they say, you know, I'm clean and sober, or they say, I'm sober. And we can educate those people, but we have to make it safe for them to feel included and for them to feel comfortable and safe to be in our meetings. And that is attraction. You know, we have making our meetings a safe and welcoming environment for all addicts is, I think, an important component of public relations. So anyway, I think I'm just going to shut up because I could talk and talk and talk, but I want to hear what everybody else has to say. And I apologize for not having my notes more together and having a tornado warning right in, I mean, 5 minutes or something before I was supposed to get on this meeting. But anyway, I love you all and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Tony. You did well. Appreciate that very much. All right. So at this time, we are going to open this up. Thanks, Tonya. We will now open this up and hear from others. If you'd like to share, please use your raise your hand button or raise your hand. It's a pretty small group. I don't think I'm going to miss you. And let's hear a little experience, strength, and hope. And we'll just share until we're done and we'll close the meeting. So, who would like to share first on Tradition 11? Let's see. All right, I'm Wayne. I'm an addict. Hi, Wayne. You did good, Tonya, and you covered a lot of the rim. Okay, I got you next, Carla or Rod. You know, I think in my time, I mean, I've got a lot of years clean, but if I look back, of when I truly started. I mean, I did H&I and PR work for years and years and years. But if I really look back, and I was kind of talking about it before we started, how times have kind of changed throughout the years of, you know, following all traditions, but we're talking about Tradition 11, because I can remember going into some H&I panel meetings at Valley Hope, and I mean this was, gosh, a lot of years ago, and it was pretty lax. And now that I think about it, I mean some of the stuff I was sharing was probably a violation of the 11th, and I don't think I was ever really schooled on whether I was right or not, because I was sharing my experience, strength, and hope, but you know, the saying you and I might have even said that you know, you go to Narcotics Anonymous and you might get your kids back and this and that. So, you know, there were some high expectations when I left. Oh, wow, I'm gonna do this and go to Narcotics Anonymous because that's what I'm trying to do. It might even been the reason they was in treatment, because they wanted their kids and their dog and everything back. And when I mentioned that, It puts some expectations. So there might, I never heard back from them, but there might have been some resentments towards me because, they might not have got their kids back and they might have went to Narcotics Anonymous, and I think there's some really through that, I mean, if you read through that, and nowadays I do go into talking about that. I mean, the program don't give us nothing unless we do what we're supposed to do, and that's the work the program. Can't just say I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous and expect to get everything back. So, when I was in Wichita, I went to a larger group. And I like smaller groups, and I don't like a lot of moving around, like kind of what Tonya was talking about, So it wasn't a resentment, but we did get a coffee pot and we started a new group, and it was a smaller group, and the atmosphere was more calm and peaceful, and everybody was welcome. And I think that's really important. Even now, we have one, and I like that. Hey, when we got started West Side over here, there was so many outsiders in that neighborhood that knew what was coming in. Though it's been a bar for who knows, and they was rowdy, I'm sure, and they hated it over there. And when we started Narcotics Anonymous, I could count so many people from that. It's like a little industry place where there are some businesses, and they came over and would talk to us. And there were even a couple people came during the meeting and sat down and listened, and that was there. And a couple of them, I mean, there's a car. Not dealership, but the towing vehicles, and there's a bunch of addicts over there. I could tell, and there was several of them finding their way just to see what we was about, and that was bringing that on. I had we was going to put a sign up. It's a big board sign out front. Well, a lot of people in the group said we can't put Narcotics Anonymous on there because it's an anonymous program. And I'm like, well, we're just telling them where we're at. We're not saying who's here, but we didn't put it up there, but we did get a plaque to put in front that said Narcotics Anonymous, the lie is dead, and if you know, I didn't, it don't say that, but if you know. We're not saying who's in there or what we do in there or what it's going to do for you. In the years, I think seriously that sometimes I think it's been more slack, like stretching tradition out just a little bit in some of it, but I think it's important because addicts need to know where we're at. Here it's been within the last year, H and I going into the jail here, which is great. Well, during one of our subcommittee meetings, a person that's really passionate about it said they was going into the prison by themselves. I'm like, well, that's a violation of tradition. Well, these people need this because their passion said that. I said, I understand. And we went through an intense conversation in the committee towards that. I've got a passion for Narcotics Anonymous, but I never go to anything alone. 12-step. Hey, I just had a sponsee today, helping somebody get that just got out of jail using blah blah blah. And I told him, hey, that person, you need to take somebody with you. Who know, well, they're not using. Well, I understand, but they're seeing you and you're saying come to Narcotics Anonymous to these people. and you'll get what I get. That's what he's telling me. Hey, I'm telling you, don't go with by yourself. Because that's same thing, But anyway, yeah, I think it has stretched. Some people, some and here's what's happening. There's not many people on the list to go, so they go anyway, and that's a no-no, as we all know, But what do you do? Cancel? I mean, and that's what they said. What do we do? Cancel? I said, I guess. I know we got to save lives, and that's, but we have to go in. We have to follow this stuff, or it'll be a problem with the facility, with the people that are coming out of prison. So anyway, and the reason I say it's kind of stretched is so many people backed that up at that committee, saying that it's okay. I couldn't believe it. And then I get, it's almost like I'm in a Nazi if I'm not going along with the flow. That's not correct. I think the more service a person does, the more you kind of get ridiculed, and that's kind of off. You kind of get ridiculed by following traditions when you're doing service, especially in this, in the 11th tradition. Our group is so calm over there. Every person that comes in that place, I mean, it's almost like we have a yellow jacket on, and that's the hugger, because they're just, it's not very big. And I love it like that. Anyway, I've probably rambled off the topic enough here, but I think it's important that for me to know that I have to follow these traditions in all my affairs. So anyway, Rod, you want to go next? And then I see Tonya's got her hand up.
Well, thank you, Wayne,
You're
Tonya.
welcome.
I am an addict. My name is Rod, and I remember when I first got clean, and we started doing public information, and I know that we did things wrong. I know we did. And the reality is that that we had to learn how to go about doing that. And if we're not teaching these people how to, if we're not showing people how to do this stuff correctly, and we've gotten away from doing learning days so much, I really like this. I know this is, we're speaking to the choir, really. I mean, absolutely speaking to the choir, looking at all the participants. The reality is that we've got to reach these other people that are out there, somehow, some way. I don't know. I wasn't available to do the Pioneer Group question and answer day. I know our little group, all the people were excited to learn some stuff, and I think it went rather well, according to what Tim said and what I'm hearing Tonya say. But we need to do more of that stuff. We really do. We need to get that out there, and so people can learn. And here's the bad thing about what I keep hearing, and this is a real pet peeve of mine, and is the fact that Tonya is doing public information, even though her title is public relations, and the other subcommittees in that particular section are really struggling from what I see. The hospitals and institutions, we've got groups going everywhere and doing stuff, and that's not bad, but there's no collective like what is public information is coming about doing. What I see the public relations doing, public information is doing in Mid-America region. They're bringing people in and getting people excited and doing that, and the hospitals and institution is just not getting that. You know, we're having individual groups, and you know that's part of our Pioneers Group's problem is that we've always operated as an area since the first I got there. We've always had our own subcommittee meetings, and when I first went to area and started learning in it, you know, some of those areas, you know, that's how that goes about going about the hospitals and institutions and the different things they do, is it's done through the area, which frees up the group. And I just don't, I mean, I just don't, I sure wish we could, I wish I would have learned that earlier, 30 some odd years ago, because it sure has hurt, I believe, the things that are happening. So anyway, this is a it's a good deal, and I hope that we can get these recordings up so that people can start seeing them. You know, I don't know why we can't get more people in the choir here, but we have sure have dwindled down to the 7, 8, 10 people. So anyway, I've done enough rambling. Glad to be sitting here. Thank you.
Thanks, Rod. Appreciate you sharing, Rod. Tonya, do you have something?
Hey, Wayne, I just wanted to respond to you and your dilemma that you were talking about, you know, with your I think it was with your, was it with your group or your area about and what I have found in, because I don't know, I think sometimes, I mean, we're all, I don't know, it's like Rod said, preaching to the choir here. But what I have found is that our literature provides that backup for us. Like we don't, it doesn't have to be my word that I'm telling you that this is how we have to do it. You know, there are like direct quotes, you know, from our literature. Like I love the public relations handbook. You know, I mean, it's got like some beautiful stuff in it. And when I was trying to prepare here, one of the things that I read in here that I really loved and I wanted to share. And da, 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 da. Anyway, what it was saying was that the public relations is going to change over time. The world changes, right? Things are going to change. So when this tradition was written, it was at the level of press, radio, and film. I mean, now we have the internet, we have social media, we have Instagram, we have Snapchat, we have, you know, all of these things, right? And so that's changed things. But what doesn't change is that is what it said isn't going to change ever. In this public relations handbook is the core public relations principles, you know, that what we do in PR is based on spiritual principles, and that's never going to change. And so there are you know, some amazing things in the section on spiritual principles in the PR handbook, you know, that really spells out for the slow learners or the, you know, the newcomers or, you know, the new servants in public relations, why we do the things that we do. And so I don't have to just, it doesn't have to be my word, you know, I can go and I can get quotes, you know, from It Works Sound Why and from the PR handbook. And that really relieves me of being, you know, the one who is like carrying a stick, you know, or something like that. So anyway, there was that. And then the other thing that I wanted to share is that this year at convention, we're going to have a public relations booth. Just like we would have if we go out into the community, if we go to another conference somewhere, we go, so that people can. A lot of the attraction right now, I'm finding as PR facilitator and PR presentations coordinator at Region is attracting members to service, attracting we have to, besides just attracting people to our program, we have to attract our members, to service. And so my outreach this weekend, I actually hope to leave on Sunday with a web coordinator and with a media coordinator and with a phone line coordinator. I'm like, this is gonna, this is where everybody's gonna be, right? We got 800 addicts who are gonna be here this weekend. It's like, maybe we can come up with, that whole committee. So it's not just PI, it's PR. And Rod, we did at the last region get an H&I coordinator. So the yes, we have an H&I coordinator, and hopefully his enthusiasm is, gonna take off too for doing things. And also, as the world evolves, there's amazing things happening in H&I right now via Zoom. So there are H&I, PR committees, H&I committees in Colorado, Arizona, Ohio, that have started and facilitated Zoom meetings that have hundreds of addicts every week in facilities that are on the Zoom. So addicts are getting together in their facility, inmates in their facility, and then as a group, they join the Zoom. And then, so like multiple facilities. I can't remember. I feel really bad. I can't remember. But many facilities are joining in on these Zoom meetings so that just a handful of H&I volunteers can take a meeting to hundreds of inmates simultaneously, once a week. And I think that we need to think about this. Our world is changing. I mean, Zoom has made things a lot more accessible. And then I didn't talk about, and I meant to talk about social media. I know I like we started a we discussed and decided to start a public Mid-America Region page on Facebook as a part of our public relations efforts. So, and people were really not sure about that. Like, oh my gosh, how can we have a public page? Well, what I was finding was we were putting information out there to the public, to professionals and other people, and they didn't have any way of like finding us. For one thing, our website is, I mean, it's incrementally improving, but there's so much room for our website to improve so that professionals, so that we can feel confident telling them this is our web address, go there, you can find everything you need to know. It's just not up there yet. But so starting a Facebook page so that people can get information about Narcotics Anonymous, because all of our other pages, as they should be, are anonymous, they are hidden or secret, or I forget what Facebook calls them. And I, if we had a media coordinator, we would also have an Instagram page, and we would, Nas has these pages, and it's set up so that every time a post is made on the page, the post is also modified so that no one can comment. Because when you do start with the comments, then the anonymity, becomes an issue. So, unless you have a name on your Facebook page that is not your actual name or something, and your photo that's not your actual photo, anonymity becomes an issue. And our literature talks about how this is, I mean, it's, it, that can vary, what anonymity means can vary from one addict to another. So people can be okay with being on social media and having sharing their information about their recovery in Narcotics Anonymous with the public on social media. A lot, it's almost like a movement now, recover loudly, you know, and a lot of people are doing that. You know, myself personally, I'm not really comfortable doing that, but a lot of people are, and I can't tell them that they're wrong. I mean, they have reasons for wanting to do that. And our literature says that it's a personal decision. Anonymity is a personal decision at that level. So when I go to, you know, conferences and stuff like that, I frequently have my last name on my badge. And that is, it's necessary. I can't expect people to take me as seriously, if they just have my first name than if, you know, they, I mean, organizations and professionals expect to know who you are, you know, and that's not the same as I'm not speaking about Narcotics Anonymous to the newspaper or to a news station, you know, or something like that. When I'm talking one-on-one with somebody, I'm comfortable with them knowing my last name. So anyway, I just wanted to add that.
Thanks. Okay. Joe, you interested here? You can't get unmuted. Okay. Bobby, you got anything?
Hello, my name is Bobby and I'm an addict.
Hey, Bobby.
So the attraction, man, just coming in and seeing the powerfulness of people being able to stick with something and change their life in a manner that I've never been able to access throughout my life was the thing I needed to see in the rooms. I like to or sorry, I also like Tonya. I am a fast driver. I have multiple, window decals, front plates and placards for my car, but I refuse to put them on because I know it's my responsibility to not represent this program in a negative way. The promotion part, I know when I first came into the program, I wanted to reach out to everyone I was using with and drag them in the rooms with me and change all of our lives together. But I quickly realized that that's not the way this works. It works by me just coming around and being around people who are doing the damn thing and changing in a manner to where when those people are ready, because I know when I wasn't ready, there was nobody who could tell me I needed to do what I'm doing it for myself now. There was no incentive program. There was no consequences. There was no carrot on a stick that could have made me do what I didn't want to do at that point in life. But seeing people do it and, like the same people doing the same work is very inspiring. It would be nice if everybody, did a little bit to where it wasn't so overwhelming for the same people. But the commitment I get to see in the same people doing the same work and participating in the same things is, attractive to me because that consistency is something I've never experienced when I was in addiction, I didn't have anything that was constant except for, jail institutions, unreliability, not accountability. I mean, there's all the negative things that are associated with that is what I was consistent in. So being consistent is attractive to me. Trying to get people to get involved, that's something that's just going to be, you can only put so many people in the car with you. And sometimes, everybody ain't got a seatbelt or I don't know how that analogy all the way plays out, but you can only worry about yourself when you're riding. Love all you guys. Happy to be here. Thank you, Tonya. I'm glad you guys are safe. Makes me feel like I could be safe too this weekend. That's all I have.
Thanks, Bobby. You get her going, Joe?
Yeah, I'm an addict named Joe.
Hey, Joe.
I like that reading. I think it was the reading out of the It Works How and Why, where it talked about, if you're wearing a NA t-shirt or whatever, you need to be careful about how you act when you're out in public because you're the public face. And I remember real early on, after a whole bunch of meetings, people would go and meet up at restaurant, like Denny's or Billy's Inn or whatever. And quite often there was a whole group of people that would get in there and they would be loud and rambunctious and being cross with the waitress and stuff. And I didn't take me very long and I started getting just kind of a icky feeling about being involved in that. And it was about the time that I was read that It Works How and Why and was going to a group that did a book study in It Works How and Why. And that's when I started. I made sure that I didn't put any kind of NA mem paraphernalia on my vehicle because I still sometimes drove like a meathead and acted very inappropriately, hang out the window and give people the one finger salute and stuff like that. And so I didn't want anything like that on my vehicle. And then I decided that, when I go to a restaurant and there, and if I'm wearing an NA t-shirt, or if I've been to that restaurant wearing an NA t-shirt and the same waitress came up and was waiting on me, I wanted to be polite. I wanted to, and not be rambunctious or anything like that. Because people remember that kind of stuff. And for years, oh gosh, I say decades, my area had nobody doing any kind of PI or PR work at all. And finally, we got some people that were kind of connected with H and I that were putting literature racks and IPs and meeting lists in places like the probation office and places like that, and the hospitals and whatnot. In the jail, and one of the things, there are two things that I think of my personally involved with doing any kind of PI work or PR work, as I have a passion for making sure that the meeting list is up to date and correct, because the very first time I was when I was first got to treatment, the very first day at when they took a break for lunch, they said, "We're going to go to an NA meeting." I'd never heard of NA, didn't know anything about it. And I asked them, what's that? They said, "Well, it's like AA, but for drug addicts." In my head, I was going like, "Well, I qualify then." So we go to where the meeting list said the meeting was, and it was during Christmas break, and the meeting at noon was on the Washburn campus here in town. And where we went to see where the meeting list said the meeting was, it wasn't in that room. So they took us over to an AA meeting, and I'm going like, I didn't really fit in with the drunks. I spent more time in the alley than I ever did in the bar. So we got back after that. I was going like, started bugging the place about, can you find out about this NA stuff, And they finally did. They found out that they'd moved it to a different room down the hall, and that kind of stuck with me, that it's very important that that meeting list be up to date. And the other thing about, I don't know, I suppose this is PR work, is I kind of, because I'm retired, and as I was holding a position of treasurer for the area for a while, it was kind of up to me to secure a place to hold the area meeting. And the facility that we found, I was kind of the face to go in there and make sure that we were on the schedule and, that it was going to be okay. The place was going to be open where we could hold the meeting and stuff. And I started to develop a relationship with the director of the facility. And I made sure that every time I went there, I was wearing clean clothes. I had freshly bathed sometime, within the previous 12 hours, and that I was very polite and try to keep it businesslike. And I started to develop a good rapport with that person, and now she has given me some wonderful comments to me about my demeanor and how I present myself and stuff, which made me feel real good. But I'm going like in my head, I'm going like I want to do everything I can to not give NA a bad mark, a bad name or anything. And what I was doing was not going in there and in a situation where I really didn't have to go in as a committee, a group of people. It was kind of just a one-on-one thing to schedule the meetings. But over time, I think I have just from the director's responses to me, I have kind of enlightened her that this NA is a good thing, and they've invited us to hold functions and stuff at this facility, and so I think that I guess that kind of falls under kind of PR work, but yeah, that's not really my forte. And one thing that I have kind of noticed is there's kind of a blurry line between PR and H&I, and it seems like it functions best when those two committees, those two entities, work hand in hand with each other. Things seem to go a lot smoother, and I'm real grateful now that Kurt has decided to become the PR chair for my area, and he's starting to get a group of people that are fired up about doing PR work, getting literature racks into different facilities and different places, and he's doing some training on workshop training for doing PR work, and it's great. I'm all for it. It's I don't think it's quite my cup of tea. It doesn't really float my boat per se, but I'm sure glad that it's there's some people getting fired up about it, not only in Manhattan but in Topeka area too. So hopefully it's going to take off. I'll support them as much as I can. Anyway, that's about all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Joe. All right. Well, let's see. I see one other person here. Would you like to share, Daniel?
I think Carlos is probably hanging out there in the back somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm Daniel, I'm an addict.
Daniel.
I'll start with my spiritual principle of integrity. And I don't know, I hear this all the time, and I get on my sponsees about it. It's the idea that I have to be wearing an NA t-shirt to practice spiritual principles is absurd to me. My integrity today says that it doesn't matter what t-shirt I have on, to be an image of Narcotics Anonymous. It doesn't matter if I have stickers on my Jeep or not. I don't really do stickers on my Jeep, so that's not a thing for me. But I still try to not, I stopped flipping people off a long time ago. I might give you a look, like the disappointing dad look, but I don't really, make absurd or obscene gestures. I thought about this once in terms of the situation of being in the restaurant, and whether we're a group of people or not, if I'm an asshole to the waitress or the lady at the Walmart or the grocery store, and she shows up to an NA meeting with her kid, or her spouse, or even for herself, and she sees me there, and I'm an asshole. She already knows I'm an asshole. That's not a very attractive part of this program. And it didn't matter if I was wearing an NA t-shirt or not. My first sponsor told me, and I know many of us have heard this, but that I might be the only part of this program that anybody ever sees. And what do I expect that he actually said, I might be the only part of the basic text that anybody ever sees. And what do I want that to look like, And so for me, it's always been a look at that of, if I just act right all the fucking time, I don't have to worry about what I'm wearing or not wearing. It doesn't matter anymore. It's that spiritual principle of integrity, and because it's about doing it all the time. It's not just part of the time, and I think we learn that in a lot of areas. We practice these principles outside of our meetings. I think it read some of that in what we read tonight, was that inside and outside of the rooms, public relations happens. And it is, man. It is almost as much, we think about these things in terms of like fellowship development being things that happen inside Narcotics Anonymous, and public relations is anything that happens outside of Narcotics Anonymous. And it's like, really, it's all happening everywhere all the time, inside, outside. It's something that exists. And I know for me personally, I have no anonymity anymore. I mean, that I don't know, that went away at some point in my recovery. It's definitely gone now in the space that I work. And it's okay. I'm a poster child for NA, or it's not that I'm a spokesperson for the fellowship, but I know that, anybody on my Facebook list, or what, any social media that I have, all those people either know that I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous because they're also a member of Narcotics Anonymous, or because they knew I needed it. And that's the reality, is that, the people that are on my Facebook that had come in contact with me before NA, know that I'm in recovery because they see how different my life is today. And I don't share my personal recovery at the level of social media. I've got my Facebook set up to a specific set of friends. If I share something that's NA related, it'll be to that specific set of friend group, and things like that. I've done PR in some way probably most of my recovery. I remember an area in Western area, probably in 1999 or 2000, I think it was either Mike M or Tony K had this suitcase thing that, they brought to area, and it was a portable PI or IP rack, and it had the NA stuff on. I think there's one in the archives or something at Region just like it. And we were gonna go, the area was gonna do a booth at a fair, or some, Ford County Fair or some fair out in the middle of nowhere, Western Kansas. And I think that was my first experience with understanding or learning that that somehow we have to tell people that we exist. And I knew that because I came here because somebody knew that we existed. I came to Narcotics Anonymous at 15, being sent here by a probation officer, and they had to have been told about NA at some point to be able to send me to get, a meeting slip signed. And so, the importance of that is, I didn't necessarily learn about NA when I went to treatment the first time. I learned about it because of a probation officer, and we have to do what we can to put ourselves out there in a way that gets people here, and that method is dying so much in, driving people to the rooms, driving newcomers to meetings, and we've talked about it a lot here lately in the and how flat the fellowship growth is for most of the country, you know, and it's the idea that we don't grow because we don't have newcomers coming in the door. You know, we've got them somewhat, but not like we did, you know, 20 years ago. And what are we doing that's, you know, what's lacking there? And for the most part, you know, Tony talked about getting volunteers to be trusted servants. You know, that's where we're lacking, is getting the people in the door that want to do the work that it takes to get more people in the door. And I don't know, you know, I equated my desire to help here, to do what I could for my recovery, to be willing to do anything it took to stay clean another day. You know, thankfully I had Gary D in my life, and he told me that I needed to go to fucking NA meetings, and he told me that I needed to be involved in service, you know, and that my willingness was, I'll do whatever the fuck it takes, because I don't want to go back to where I'd been, you know. And I don't know if we've just been so successful at raising the bottom that the willingness isn't as deep or isn't as strong as it was, you know, when I got clean. It could be that. It could be just the fact that we all think somebody else is going to do it, and somebody else is burnt out, you know. And so I don't know. I think there's probably solutions somewhere. I don't necessarily have the answers. I know that a lot of people are just waiting to be asked to do something, and then maybe they'll do it. We tend to sit on this sideline waiting for people to show up saying they want to do something, and I think it's probably a good idea that we start asking for help directly instead of broadcasting it in a big wide net, because the wide net isn't catching any flies. So I am excited. I'm gonna leave tomorrow to go to the convention, then I come home for a couple of days, and then I'm gonna leave for California. And I know, you know, some of you are service enthusiasts like myself, and there will be an audio link to listen and attend to what's happening at the World Service Conference. And there's a schedule that's posted, and if it gets updated again, we'll post an updated version on the conference page for NA.org. And there's a PR session on there, and I think it's going to be important for certain people, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, Tonya, to listen into that conversation, you know, because it's, you know, there are important things that we're doing, and there are important things that we can do. And there are definitely perspectives that'll hopefully be shared that might be something we can bring home and use locally. So yay, exciting stuff. So I won't be at Region, but I will be at Markness. So I hope to see most of you this weekend. Back to you, Tony. You got your hand up again.
So it is 25 after 8. And so we're getting ready to shut down. Tony, did you have something to share on that?
Just real quick, I'd like to add to, you know, what Daniel was talking about, attracting members to service, that something that I have noticed when I look around the room, and I see, you know, the hardcore trusted servants who have, you know, been at it year after year and that sort of thing. And this is not true of everyone, but I've noticed it for some of our really, really great trusted servants, that a lot of them, their first encounter with Narcotics Anonymous was when they were really young. And I have this theory about that. And I think it's time for us to do another survey. I'd like to survey the servants, you know, and find out like more information about what makes somebody, you know, feel compelled to service, so that we can attract, so that we can aim our PR at that group. So I'm thinking that we need to really be reaching out more to young people. I mean, even if they don't come here and stay here, because, you know, I went to my first meeting when I was 18 or 19. I didn't stay, but I think that if we can get people to just know about us and know that there is, that it exists, you know, that recovery exists, that it might change that picture of not having enough members to, you know, spread the love around. So anyway, that's just a thought I've had.
Thank you. All right. Well, that turned out to be a awesome session. So, thanks all for your time tonight. We have a couple announcements here. Is the next region is going to be May 16th and 17th, with subcommittees meeting Saturday, business on Sunday. You can see on the screen that we have a lot of opportunities at region, just the thing we're talking about right now. Take it back to your groups and areas and your sponsees and your sponsor, and make this look pretty, because it is. So and so you can come to next region. Now, another thing would be Martina 41 is happening this weekend. There are many opportunities to be a service at the convention. Just tell somebody you want to help, and they will find you something to do. PR's having a booth. Go by and see PR. Set in with there. Learn how this thing works if you haven't been on one before. But I'll see everybody there in the morning. And if you want to do something, just ask one of them committee members. They'll put you to work and they need help. And also, we have our camp out is meeting Saturday morning in the archives room at 8 o'clock for an intern meeting. So the camp out is July 5, 3 through 5. And that's going to be at Canning Creek in Council Grove Lake, same place as last year. So if you want to get involved, hey, show up at the intern meeting. And there's a few positions open if you're interested in that. And then join us again next month for Tradition 12. Remember, this will be on April 28th at 7 o'clock Central Time. If you have feedback for the format or you have any suggestions for a speaker for Tradition 12, reach out to Daniel and make something happen. So anyway, thank you all again for attending. We hope you'll see you all back next month. So let's go ahead and close this with a moment of silence, followed by a third step prayer. Hey, Daniel, you want to take us out with the third step prayer?
Sure, Wayne. Let's have another moment of silence for the act out there not knowing there's a better way to live. Thank you. Many of us have said, take my will and my
Take my
life,
will, my life.
guide me in my
Guide me, my
recovery,
recovery,
and show
and
me how to
show me
live.
how to live.
All right. Awesome.